for the rest of us, let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, it is so good to be here, to be among your people. God, to be able to offer up our praises to you and our prayers and to hear your word. And God, what a privilege that is. And so, God, may your word find a good place in our hearts and our minds to dwell, and to dwell deeply and richly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So earlier this week, a friend of mine said, "Hey, you preaching this week?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "What you preaching on?" "Jesus." He goes, "Wow, that's real original." He goes, "You care to be a little more specific?" "Love." He goes, "Wow, you're just full of original thoughts this week, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, you know, I know. We talk about love. We talk about Jesus a lot. That's a good thing, by the way. We talk about God's love. We talk about our love for Him, our love for others, our love for our enemies. I mean, love gets a lot of attention for good reason." The early church father, Jerome, so he was writing in the 300s, records this in his commentary on Galatians. By the way, we're going to be looking at 1 John today, chapter 4. We're going to mainly be focusing on verses 7 through 11, so to kind of get you ready for that. But Jerome records in his commentary on Galatians, he says, "When the blessed evangelist John the Apostle," so the one who wrote this letter and the Gospel and Revelation, "when he had lived in Ephesus into his extreme old age and could hardly be carried to the meetings of the church by the disciples, and when in speaking he could no longer put together many words, he would not say anything else in the meetings but this, 'Little children, love one another.' When at last the disciples and brothers got tired of hearing the same thing again and again, they said, 'Master, why do you keep saying the same thing?' John replied with a saying that is worthy of him, 'Because it is the Lord's command, and if it is done, it will be enough.'" We do talk about love an awful lot. And we talk about it because we can't hear about it enough because we have yet to perfect it. You know, so let's just start it off by asking the question, what is love? That's been the countless theme of songs, a lot of country songs, movies, poetry. Well, on a very human level, love seems to be uncertain, sporadic. I mean, I remember being in sixth grade in my art class. And Katie sat across the table from me, and she had blonde hair, and I loved her. I thought I did. I thought I loved her as much as a sixth grader could, until that fateful day, standing by the sink in the back of the room, she said, "Corey, you're like a brother to me." Womp, 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 womp. Like, oh, man. But, you know, even as adults, love can be kind of like an emotional roller coaster. You know, it starts with little butterflies in the stomach and can grow into full-bore infatuation. But friends, that ain't love. Love is defined by God. His love is our hope. It's our goal. I mean, as Christians, don't we want to love like Jesus loves? And so John, in this letter, gives us a really interesting picture of what love is supposed to be like. So let's take a look at this, starting at the very beginning of verse 7. We're going to talk about love's source. Where does this come from? John says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." So the first thing he starts with is the command, "Let us love one another." This reflects Jesus' command in John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another," which, by the way, was not a new command. Okay, God had been telling his people to love one another since the very beginning. But here was the new part. He says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Now, friends, do you think that in our natural selves, we have the power, the strength, even the desire to love the way Jesus loves? In case you don't know the answer, it's no. No, we actually don't. And so what John establishes right off the bat is, well, where does this love come from? He says, well, it comes from God. And this isn't just any kind of love. This isn't a mushy, gushy, Valentine's Day card, sappy kind of love. When the Bible speaks of love, it is always a willed decision, very deliberate decision, followed by action. This is a love that is willing to sacrifice. This is the kind of love that God demonstrates time and time again, and ultimately we see it in its most beautiful display in Jesus himself. Jesus says, love as I have loved you. Boy, that's taking love to a whole nother level, isn't it? And boy, it is not easy to do. Because what it does is it absolutely destroys our pride. Because we're then forced, if we're loving this way, to put other people's interests above ours. And we don't like to do that. And so that's a decision that we have to make. Yeah, I could tell all of you, hey, you know what, everybody? Be happy. Well, that's a nice thing to say, but you can't just turn happiness on and off, right? Because it's an emotion. It kind of ebbs and flows. And this love from God is not something so fickle as an emotion. It's not something that ebbs and flows. It goes much, much deeper. Because this is a love that costs us something. It means loving those who are different than us, different in any way. You look at Jesus. Who did he hang out with? Who was he showing his love to? He was showing him to the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners. It means loving the unlovely. Oh, Jesus did that all the time. Jesus touched lepers. You couldn't do that in that day. But Jesus was willing to go in those places no one else was willing to. And although John is directing this letter, he's writing this to other believers. Okay, the love he's talking about is loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But we also have to consider what Jesus said about who we love. And he said, you also have to love your enemies. And hopefully those aren't the same brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when Jesus tells us that, this seems to kind of cover everybody, doesn't it? This kind of love really is choosing to give yourself to someone in a grace-filled relationship and friendship. It's forgiving. It's forgiving. It's loving the way Jesus loves. But John doesn't just stop with that. Oh, no. He's going to introduce a test, what I call the love test. And no, this is not some weird Christian dating site. This is something John himself gives us. So he reminds us that there is the command, love one another. He reminds us where the source of love comes from. It comes from God, but listen to this. He says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. Now, hold on just a second, John, if I'm catching this right. He's saying that love is a test of whether or not we truly know God. Makes me think of when Jesus was asked the question, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? This is how he responded in Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, there's that whole concept again of loving everybody. So if loving God is our greatest purpose, as Jesus says, then the second one is loving each other. Those two things are very much connected in Jesus' mind. In fact, later on in this chapter in 1 John, in verse 20, John says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So this is the test. If you don't love one another, John says, you don't really know God. Wow. And you can see how this kind of works in a couple different ways. You know, if we don't love people, he says, then you don't know God. If we do know God, then we will love people. In fact, if we truly know God, we can't help but love people, because God himself is love. Isn't that kind of what following Jesus is all about? As John will say, we love because he first loved us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, John, in speaking of what this love looks like, he says, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. He said, love is a decision that's followed by an action. Found this little story, and I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to see or listen and kind of figure out, who are you in this story? Because I think all of us can kind of find ourselves in this. A traveler fell into a deep pit and couldn't get out. Several persons came along and saw him struggling in the pit. The sensitive person said, oh, I feel for you down there. The reflective person, okay, this says reflective, I go with the engineer scientist, said, it's logical that someone would fall into that pit. The aesthetic person said, I can give you ideas on how to decorate that pit. The judgmental person said, only bad people fall into pits. The curious person said, how in the world did you get down into that pit? The perfectionist said, I believe you deserve to be in that pit. The optimist said, cheer up, things could be worse. The pessimist said, be prepared, things will get worse. But Jesus, seeing the man, reached in and took him by the hand and lifted him out of that miserable pit. We can probably all kind of identify with at least someone in that story, but ultimately, as Christians, we are called to do the thing that Jesus does. That's what loving one another is. It's coming alongside. It's reaching out, sometimes reaching into a nasty old pit to help lift someone out, that they may see Jesus in us, in our words and in our actions. Are we doing this? Are you doing this? John says, if we truly know God, then this love will just flow out of that relationship to everyone around us. Now, here's a question that comes up often when we look at this. And I've been asked this. Well, aren't unbelievers loving too? I mean, I know lots of non-Christians who are very loving people. So I would say yes. Yes, unbelievers can be loving. And I think so because they are still image bearers of God. But if we look at it this way, then what does this tell us about how extreme the love that John and Jesus are talking about? How extreme must be our compassion? How extreme must be our sacrifice? Well, let's talk about the sacrifice. Verses 9 and 10, John talks about love's demonstration. And what's amazing to me in this is, you know, Jesus didn't command us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do himself. I mean, you talk about the ultimate example of practice what you preach. Verse 9 and 10 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Paul echoes this same thought in Romans 5:8, where he says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus gives us the ultimate demonstration of his love, so that not only could we live through him, but that we could understand just the depth of the love that he's wanting us to show. Now, I have two sons. And I tell you what, I love these boys so much it just about makes me sick. And I love all of you. Or as Lisa would say, I love all y'all. But would I be willing to sacrifice one of my sons for you? Well, now I'm not trying to insult you, and don't take this personally. But man, I really love my kids a lot, and probably a lot more than I love you guys. I'm sorry. Don't be insulted, but I really love my boys. But let's say for some reason that I did decide that your life depended on me sacrificing one of my boys. And let's say for some unbelievable reason I could make that horrible decision to sacrifice one. And let's say I actually did it. I decided, yep, I'm going to sacrifice one of my sons so you could live. Well, friends, I tell you what. You had better love me and adore me and praise me. You better go out there and tell everyone you meet what a great guy I am that I sacrificed my son for you. Now, I'm not God. And if I'm honest with this whole scenario, I'm probably far too selfish to actually give up either one of my sons so you could live. Although it depends on the day. Because there are days. I might even give you both of them. But here's the truth. God loves you far more than I do. And he did sacrifice his son so that you could live. And maybe there's at least one way that God and I are maybe a little bit alike. Because I think our Father expects us to respond to this kind of love. I mean, good grief, when someone shows you an incredible act of love, don't you somehow feel obligated to show some sort of response? Our Father expects us to love him and adore him and praise him. Our Father expects us to give our lives to him. And while some may look at that and think, boy, that seems like a burden, are you kidding me? What a great gift to have the privilege to be able to love God, and not only that, but to then love others, not with a power of my own, not something I can muster up, but the power of God through me. God, what a privilege that is. But is that our response? You know, what is your response to God's love? It's far too easy to just take it for granted. It's easy to forget how much our salvation cost him. He gave everything for us to live. He says, I love you so much, but I want you to demonstrate that love to each other. I mean, good grief. Doesn't he at least deserve that? John then sums this all up in verse 11. This is love's summary. He says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There it is, just plain and simple. If we want to be like Jesus, love is never optional for us. And look, friends, I get it. Some people are awful. Some people, now don't look around at each other when I say that. Good grief, come on now. But let's face it, some people are really hard to love. So what? Were we any better or different when God showed his love to us? No. And again, this is not only for those times when you feel like it. Because remember, this love is not just an emotional, flimsy thing. This is a decision every day, every moment. So what I want you to do is take a moment, and I want you to look around at the people sitting right around you. Seriously. Don't point fingers or anything like that. Don't go, you're one of the awful ones. But okay, now let me ask you this. Do you love these people? I mean, as you look around, would you be willing to put their interests above your own? Now, I'm not saying you particularly have to like them. We don't have to like someone to show them God's love. I guess really ultimately the question is, do you truly know the love of God? Is it seen and how you love. Amen. Please stand as we join together in singing our hymn.